I want to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Product Approval Program Oversight Committee of July 23rd, 2020. First, I'd like to remind us of our teleconference participation process. Primarily, it helps if you keep your phone or your computer muted to prevent background noise. Be aware of background noise. Please state your name each time you speak, and commissioners, when making and seconding motions, make sure you state your name as well. Okay, so let's determine that we have a quorum. Commissioner Stone.
Present.
Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Commissioner Dean.
Present.
Commissioner Gilson. Commissioner Homburger.
Present.
Commissioner Sloat.
Here.
One more time, Commissioner Gilson. All right, well, we have 5 of 6 constituting a quorum. We also have Tom Campbell, Justin Vogel, Mo Madani, Zubedi Benici, Jim Hammers, representing our staff on the line as well. Any other staff people I didn't mention? All right. Then I think one more thing. There's a couple of callers that just called in. If they could identify themselves so that Tom can put your name with your phone number.
Dermot Ennis, International Insulation Products.
That's caller C1, number 10, Tom. All right. Who else?
This is Laura Beaver with the Southern Group.
Laura Beaver?
Beamer.
Beamer, sorry.
Laura with an M, no problem.
Yep, and that's caller number 11, Tom. We still have caller number 9. Somebody else join the meeting on a phone? Okay. Maybe, Tom, if you don't mind muting caller number 9 since they're not identifying themselves. Okay. Commissioner Stone, I think we're ready to go ahead and review and approve the agenda and then the minutes.
Thank you. The agenda has been posted. Is there any comments on the agenda? Not hearing any comments. Do we have a motion for approval of the agenda?
Compton moved to approve.
You have a second?
Hamburger second.
Thank you. All in favor of the agenda signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda has been approved. Next item on the agenda is the minutes of the May 21st have been posted along with the facilitator's report. Do we have any comments on the minutes or facilitator's report? We have a motion for approval of the minutes and facilitator's report.
Count the move approval.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Hamburger second.
Thank you. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes and facilitator's report have been approved.
Mr. Chairman, before you proceed, I neglected to mention Chris Howell as being on the call, so I just wanted to get that on the record as well.
Jeff, your volume is, at least on my computer, is very low. I have
Is this better? Is that better, Jeff?
I can hear you.
Okay, I was just.
I'm not having problems hearing you, Jeff.
Okay. All right. Just to reflect that Chris Howell is in attendance from staff. That's all. So go ahead, Jeff, with the
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the product approval and entity statistics report. Can we have that?
Yes, this is Zubeyde. For 2017 Florida Building Code, we have 7,168 approved product applications, and the total is 7,918. For the products, we have 30,501 approved products, and the total is 33,700. For the entities, we have 120 approved entities, and the total is 412. That concludes the statistics report for 2017. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments on the report? Not hearing any. We'll go on to the next item. We have all conditional approval requirements were met, so we have no conditional approvals. Next item is a big item for us for discussion. Is a complaint against the International Association of Plumbing and Mechanical Officials, IAPMO, and FIFO Company Incorporated by Dermot Ennis of International Insulation Products. I would like to have the complaint explained and the response also explained, and then open up to public comment and then to the commission or to the BOC.
Mr. Chairman, should we start with our legal staff in terms of providing some analysis?
Yes. I lost my notes somewhere, so I forgot to ask for that.
All right, so Justin, go ahead and provide some analysis regarding the provisions of the rule and the applicability, if you would. Tom, is Justin on the, oh, there's Justin. Go ahead, Justin.
Can you hear me now?
Just yes. Now, yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. This is Justin Vogel, the commission's attorney. And as Commissioner Stone noted, the commission has received complaints against the manufacturer of an insulation product and a product evaluation entity. I will address each of these in turn. With respect to the product manufacturer complaint, the rule provides for action against specific products rather than manufacturers. This product does not have a product approval number, and Rule 61G20-3.001 states that this rule applies to approval of products and systems which comprise building envelope and structural frame for compliance with the structural requirements of the Florida Building Code. So the threshold question for the POC is going to be whether this particular product is even subject to the provisions of this rule and whether it is the appropriate subject of complaint in this forum. With respect to the evaluation entity, what the POC is going to be tasked with doing is examining the allegations and the evidence submitted and deciding whether it appears any of the rules pertaining to the product approval program may have been violated. Copies of the relevant rule sections have been posted to the agenda, but I will briefly read through the possible violations. One would be failure to maintain accreditation by a commission-approved accreditation body. Two, suspension or revocation of accreditation by a commission-approved accreditation body for failure to meet commission accreditation standards or equivalent pursuant to Rule 61G20-3.008 and 61G20-3.015. Three, determination by the commission that any requirements set forward in this document have been violated. Four, determination that the criteria for independence from any manufacturer set forth in Rule 61G20-3.009 has been violated. Five, determination that the entity is not independent pursuant to Rule 61G20-3.009 of any competing manufacturer, of the manufacturer to whom the entity provided services on which Florida jurisdiction's product approval is based. Six, an entity has misrepresented its accreditations or other material information on its application for approval. Seven, failure to conduct investigations of products authorized by Rule 61G20-3.014. So, in order to initiate an investigation against the product evaluation entity, there would need to be substantial material evidence of noncompliance with a specific rule or statutory provision of the product approval program. Note that our rules may only cover a subset of requirements that the evaluation entity's accrediting body may have, but that the commission is restricted to considering the requirements which are present in rule or statute. And if the POC has any questions, I will be available throughout this meeting.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'd like to suggest a process for proceeding with this. My recommendation is that we bifurcate into two separate discussions so that they don't interfere with each other. The first discussion is whether the product in question and the complaint against FileFull Company, Inc. is is correctly before the POC. As Justin mentioned, the product and systems that comprise the building envelope and structural frame, the product doesn't appear to meet that requirement, but the POC will discuss that. If you decide that it doesn't, then we can go ahead and make a recommendation to the commission that they dismiss the complaint against FileFlow Company on the basis that the product is outside the scope of the product approval rule and the commission's authority. Resolve that issue, and then we can discuss the complaint against the evaluation entity, IAPMO. If that makes sense to you, Mr. Chairman?
I agree. Go ahead. I have to mute my mic.
Okay. All right. So let's first, POC members, discuss whether the product was within the scope of the rule. And if you determine that it's not, then we can go ahead and dispose of that, and then we can go move on to the larger issue of the evaluation entity. So, POC members, you heard from your legal counsel regarding the provisions of 61G23.001, scope of the rule, on which products are comprised, building envelope and structural frame. So let's discuss that item. Who wants to start?
Compton?
Go ahead, Dave.
If I heard Justin correctly, he said that this product doesn't have a product approval number. Is that correct?
Yes, that's what he said.
I don't find how it falls under this jurisdiction then.
Right. I think, you know, there's two questions. There isn't a state product approval number, and the product doesn't meet the requirements for even getting one because it's not part of the building envelope and structural frame pursuant to the requirements of the rule. All right.
Okay, that's what I thought I understood. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion, POC members? Okay. So before I try to get an action from the POC, does anybody from the public wish to speak just to this part of it? And that is the product itself and whether it's within the scope of the product approval rule. Not about the other complaint. We'll discuss that completely separately. So who would like, is anybody from the public? Give me your name first. I'll make a list, and then we'll go back to the POC for an action, a recommendation to the commission, and then we'll take up the other matter.
Yeah, this is Dermot Ennis from International Insulation.
Okay, go ahead, Dermot.
And I agree. I'm the one that made the complaint. I agree that it does not fall under the structural building envelope because insulation products on the interior, for some reason, have never been required to have a product approval listing. And that was one of the things I noticed when I came into the state and started selling a product. So I do agree that it is an issue that it does not fall under your jurisdiction. I've had this conversation with Mr. Vogler, and he's kind of instructed me of, you know, what I need to do to take care of this issue. And again, I don't want to waste your time anymore. So I agree with you 100%, but they just asked me to put this in as part of the whole claim or complaint.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to speak? Okay, then I'm going to go to our POC and POC members, based on that and based on Justin's analysis and your review of the rule. If you agree, a relevant motion might be to recommend that the Florida Building Commission dismiss the complaint against FileFlow Company by Dermot Ennis of International Insulation on the basis that the product is outside the scope of the product approval rule and the commission's authority. POC members?
Compton, I move that approval, or I move that motion, sorry.
Okay.
So, Emperor, I second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Jeff, do you want me to do it, or do you want to go ahead and do it?
So we got a motion and a second. Any additional comment? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion has been approved.
Okay, great. So let's go on to the second matter, which would be the complaint against International Association of Plumbing and Mechanical Officials, IAPMO, by FireFall Company and Dermot Ennis, and discuss that matter. I think Justin laid out the provisions of 61G23.013 per N2 sub per N A regarding the seven specific things that you can evaluate whether there is, I think as Justin termed it, substantial material evidence. Justin, I have one question. If the, after the POX discussion and they, if they do determine that there is substantial material evidence, would the proper, is it according to the conditions of the rule that the investigation, the first step would be to request that the, accrediting body, yeah, thank you, that, which is, I think is ANSI, would do the investigation. Is that, would that be the proper step?
Yes, essentially the way that this would work it is if the POC determines that one of the provisions of rule or statute may have been violated, they would be recommending that the commission initiate an investigation. So this is still at a very preliminary phase, and this is kind of just looking at the sufficiency of whether this even intersects with the requirements of the product approval program rules. At that point, if the commission chose to initiate an investigation, then it would be the accrediting body that would conduct the investigation. Unless the accrediting body was incapable of doing so, in which case, then the commission itself would conduct any investigation.
Great, thank you. So just to kind of lay it out for you, once we'll hear from the complainant, and we'll also hear from IAPMO, assuming they're on the phone as well, and other public comment. But in the final analysis, you would need to make a recommendation to the commission to either initiate or not initiate an investigation on the basis that there is or there is not substantial material evidence of a violation of the applicable provisions of the product approval program by the IAPMO. So that's what you're trying to determine. And then if that's the case, the recommendation goes to the commission, and the commission then would initiate the investigation by, instructing or asking ANSI to look into the matter further. So that's kind of the extent of it. Your determination is whether there were any substantial material evidence of a violation of one of these seven provisions or statute as Justin described and laid out for you, and you have the documentation. So before I turn it up, before we move forward, does any POC member have any questions about what we're trying to do here right now?
Yeah, Compton.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm a little confused here. So this is tied to the product that we just dismissed. Does this company do any evaluations for product approvals for the state of Florida?
You're talking, well.
Jeff, I can answer the question. Yes, we.
Sure, Mo.
IAPMO is an approved evaluation entity under the state product approval program. And they are very active in the program. They do evaluation of product that is structural in nature and all within the scope of the product approval program.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
Any other questions, POC members? Okay.
What's the accreditation agency?
ANSI.
ANSI.
ANSI. ANSI. Okay. Any other questions, POC members? Mo, before I go to the complainant, is there anything you want to say first?
Not really. I'll stand by for any questions regarding the subject, the issue if it's needed. So, no, I'm fine. Go ahead, Jeff.
All right. So what I'd like to do is first hear from the complainant, which is Emmett Ennis, and then we'll hear somebody representing IAPMO, and then we'll take public comment, and then we'll come back to the POC for your questions, clarifications, and discussion, and sort of framing up what's going on. So first, we'll start with the complainant, Dermot.
Okay, Dermot Ennis. I have real concerns with you actually thinking that ANSI would provide a fair review, and the reason I say that is ANSI's boards are filled with IAPMO people. For reference, the chairman of the board is the CEO of IAPMO. The chair of the appeal board is the lawyer Monty Borgatz, of a MAP vote. The standards committee, the head of the standards committee, Gabby Davis, another employee on a MAP vote. The board of standards is Hugo Alero, another employee of a MAP vote. And lastly, you have the intellectual property rights chair, Neil Borget, of a MAP vote. These are all represented in ANSI. So I can't see how you would have a fair, unbiased opinion about their own company when their boards are littered with employees of that company. I feel it should be on the Florida Building Commission to conduct the review and see if the, you know, complaint is valid.
Okay, you want to go ahead then and provide an overview? I mean, you gave a lot of information, but would you like to give an overview of your complaint against IAM?
Well, basically, my background is I've been involved in the reflective industry for 25 years. And, you know, part of a evaluation report or an evaluation entity, A, it should be non-biased. B, it should have a review whenever there is a complaint. There is areas that they list and manners in which they take complaints. And a number of my complaints were against the actual verbiage or the test reports that were in the actual report. And on every given time when I made a complaint to a MAPO or to a building code official, I mean, in some cases, overnight, the report was revised. And these weren't grammatical errors or things like that. These were substantive change where actual, you know, information was added where there was, you know, additional testing required. Well, you can't do that in a 48-hour period, but yet they revised it. And what was very interesting, when they finally did remove this product from the directory, they said, well, we have to review that. I said, you could review that, removing this from the directory, but I said, overnight, you made substantial changes. In one case, in the state of Florida, for insulation products, the standard, our standard for our product states that we must have the product tested in two configurations, whatever configuration that we are putting it in the residential application. So if it was 24 on center framing or 16 on center, we actually have to test, and the standard tells you that. Well, I noticed that at one point the only reference in their evaluation report was to 16 on center. So I brought that to a building code official's attention, and he said you have to remove the product because you don't have the proper testing in your report. Within 48 hours, the report was changed to include 24 on center, but there was no substantial aid. He did. How they came to the reports that they claim that they have they approved it based on ICCES reports. Well, those are copyrighted and only to be used. In fact, ICC has an ongoing litigation against MAPO for copyright infringement for using these ICC reports. And those are the substantiating data. That's how they're saying that they came to their justification to approve this product. So, I mean, there's so many violations of the code of ethics of an evaluation company, the Florida Building Code, and I've listed them out very clearly, that I think there's enough information there that you should be able to come to, the commission itself should be able to come to a justification whether this evaluation company is non-biased.
Okay. Why don't we, let me see if any of our commissioners, our product approval PAC members who are commissioners, have any questions to ask you at this time. Commissioners, do you have any questions you'd like to ask?
Compton?
Mr. Ennis? Yes, go ahead, Dave.
I guess my question is the products that you're dealing with, that you're having issues with these evaluations, Do any of them have a product approval number, or are we still strictly dealing with products that aren't under the jurisdiction of the product approval program?
So under the product approval program, I have products that are approved under your Florida building product approval. They're usually exterior items that have a structural, you know, has to do with structural. For some reason, the Florida building product approval does not, insulation, interior insulation products don't fall under it, which I don't understand why we should. I mean, I think it's a great program because my products have to be evaluated by an independent lab. I have to do sampling. You know, in this case, there's no sampling done to make sure that the product that's actually being put in homes is actually a product that's being manufactured or tested. And that's a big problem. So it's allowing people to, you know, put products into homes that really, you know, there's no, you can't validate whether the testing is correct or not. So, you know, in this case, this company, Fifoil, used this evaluation report, but it was littered with inconsistencies. And that, and, you know, when I've dealt with ICC or Intertech in the past, even with my own reports, if there was any issues, I'll tell you that, they policed me and made sure that I conformed with the code requirement and wanted more information. With the case of this evaluation company and this evaluation report, they continued to just, you know, change it to suffice my complaint without giving any substantiating data of why they made the change.
If I could, this, Commissioner Compton and Justin, please feel free to weigh in. I just want to clarify for the our commissioners that the reason that this particular discussion now is focusing on the evaluation entity, IAPMO, and that does fall under your purview because they are an approved evaluation entity by the Florida Building Commission. So that's why that they're, the discussion is about whether they violated any of the provisions of 61G23.013. It's not about the product at all in this case. It's simply about whether there was any of that. Is that correct, Justin?
Correct. Essentially, these particular entities are actually approved by the Florida Legislature, not the, the Florida Building Commission. However, the various provisions which could be the basis for the initiation of a complaint, they don't have to be tied directly to some product approval, some specific product approval. And so that's why we're still going through this analysis for this particular entity.
Right, that's good clarification.
Okay, that clears it up for me. Yeah, this is Compton. That's where I was getting, I thought it needed to, there had to be a violation against like a product approval product. So it's just, we don't have, we can still evaluate this based on just the evaluation process.
Correct.
Yes, I think that's right.
And yeah, thank you. What you have to understand is, this is Dermot Ennis again, I wanted to finish, is that this, as Mo mentioned, this is not the only product evaluation report that this company has in the state of Florida. They have other reports that fall under the Florida product listing. So, you know, I'm very suspect of what they're doing with regards to being an unbiased, you know, evaluation company. Okay. And
you'll have plenty of time. I just want to make sure that the commissioners get their questions answered so that they're clear on, you know, everybody has the same baseline of clarity.
Sure.
Other commissioners.
Compton, one more question.
Sure. Help yourself.
Justin, is the Florida Building Commission capable of doing an investigation, or this has to be an outside entity that does it?
According to the rule, the first recourse is to have the accrediting body perform any investigation. As probably most of the commissioners are aware, it's fairly unusual to, you know, for the commission to be fielding complaints of this nature, and so there's no investigative, you know, sort of subarm of the commission in place right now. If necessary, the commission, you know, would be able to conduct an investigation, but there's not. This is so uncommon that there's not any kind of regular sort of procedure in place for it.
Thank you.
All right. Any other commissioners, POC members, have questions of Mr. Ennis at this time that you'd like to ask for clarification or Commissioner Dean, Commissioner Homburger, Swope, or Commissioner Stone, any of you have any questions?
No, sir.
Okay. Mr. Ennis, is there anything else you'd like to say before we hear from the IAPMO?
No. I think I've made it very clear.
Very good. Thank you. So is there somebody on the phone representing the International Association of Plumbing and Mechanical Officials?
Hey, good morning. This is Barry Johnson. I'll give an overview appreciate the time for presenting the award. Just to give you a little background.
Excuse me one second, Ms. Johnson. Could you say who you're with?
Oh, I'm with IAPMO UES.
Okay, great. Go ahead, Ben.
Right, just to give you a little background, I don't know if everybody's familiar with us, but we've been an building evaluation agency for several years, and all of us have come from different organizations, and we definitely take this seriously, you know, reputation on what we do. I know personally, I've started out SBCCI, so I've been kind of around the problem with the ICC for a while, which I have. And I know Brian Gerber, who's on the line as well, spent some years with CBO and ICC and IAPMO also. So we take seriously what we do, and very important to us what we do as far as the products. But we have a letter that was submitted, and we'll leave it to the committee as far as if you want to have further discussion on the letter, explanation of the timeline of the product, or anything like that. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions or for further discussion with the committee.
All right. So what you're saying basically is that, you know, you feel that your response in the letter is your response, and if there's further questions or discussion, you'll be happy to engage on that.
Right. Brian might have some additional, something additional he might want to add as well.
Mr. Gerber, do you want to add anything to this before I go ask the commissioners if they have any questions of you, of IAPMO?
Like Mr. Johnson said, this is Brian Gerber with IAPMO, just for the record. As Mr. Johnson said, our letter clearly lays out the timeline in which we've dealt with the issues regarding the Feithel report, and we take exception to Mr. Ennis's claim that IAPMO did not require any data in our reviews. I believe our timeline that we laid out clearly shows that IAPMO has engaged with the product manufacturer and on a regular basis, and did acquire data that meets the order requirements.
Okay. Commissioners, do you have any questions you'd like to ask of IAPMO representatives, Mr. Johnson or Gerber? Any commissioner? Commissioner Compton?
No, I'm good.
All right. Everybody good, commissioners? Everybody's clear? You've seen the letters and the complaint. Okay. Then I'm going to ask if there's any other members of the public that would like to provide comment before we go back to the POC for their discussion of the issue. All right. Not hearing any. Commissioners, you've seen and heard from the complainant, Mr. Ennis, and you've also heard and seen the report and letter from IAPMO representatives. We have Mr. Johnson and Gerber. So the determination or the ultimate outcome of this today is that you would make a recommendation to the commission to either initiate or not initiate an investigation regarding the complaint on the basis that there is or is not substantial material evidence of a violation of the applicable provisions of the product approval program by IAPMO. And Justin had laid out the seven provisions in any statute or any relevant statutory component. So, discussion.
Ms. Compton.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, so if I understand this correctly, the complaint was filed to IATMO, and IATMO went back and reviewed all of the data and then requested additional testing information from the and because there was a delay, and I read in the letter because COVID, and that's understandable, because there was a delay in receiving the additional testing information that was requested, IATMO decided to pull the product until such time that they get the proper testing that they require to, I guess, reinitiate this product. Is that generally my understanding, the way IATMO replied to this?
I will let one of Mr. Gerber or Mr. Johnson can respond. I think they canceled the evaluation report 290, but go ahead if you want to respond. Mr. Johnson or Mr. Gerber, one of you?
Right. Yeah, this is Brian Gerber. Yes, the as the timeline did indicate, we did put in a request for the new data, and it was pointed out legitimately that, of course, this COVID-19 pandemic has been very disruptive to virtually everyone out here, so and that includes the business of testing, and as such, the IATMO of course has to be receptive to those situations when information that has been requested is not can't be made on a practical timeline, but there's somewhat in the circumstance of a perfect storm here, and requesting information, but in spite of everybody's best attempts, that information cannot be made available as soon as everyone would like. So as a result, we did acknowledge that dilemma back in April, and determined that the report would be removed from the website and try to work with the Fifol company to gather that information. As it turned out, we did give an extension through June, and not receiving that information, we did convert the product to the status of the product to canceled as of July, so it is shown as canceled currently. We can say that these tests are not the easiest to run. Sometimes it takes many hours to reach a steady state for the temperature, so it's not even when the lab is ready to run the test, it's not that easy to get them run. Hit them run very quickly due to the sensitivity of the testing. So, but the testing is, some testing is in place, and we're actively evaluating it, and hope to have this report back available for you soon.
All right. Commissioner Compton, do you have any, does that answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, to me, it sounds like they reacted to the complaint, and they didn't get the information they requested from the product manufacturer, so they pulled the evaluation. And I understand having to extend the deadline a little bit because COVID has disrupted everything. So, okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Other POC commissioners, any other questions you want to ask or any? Or discussion, we're in discussion now. If anybody have any thoughts on how to proceed, what you think?
I do.
Go ahead, Commissioner. Dan, go ahead.
Thank you. I find Mr. Ennis's accusations credible. It feels a little like, I understand COVID and all that, but it feels like, you know, we're going back and trying to do testing that maybe should have been done earlier. Although I might be confused about it. What is concerning to me is that no one else is coming out and substantiating these things. So it seems like it's a he said, she said kind of thing. And that's what's bothering me.
Okay. Hold on, Mr. Ennis. I want to restrict this to the commission right now. We'll give you another opportunity in a minute. Commissioners, further discussion? Other thoughts?
Yes, Commissioner Hamburger. I'd like to ask IAMPO representatives why in the timeline that the ER 291 was renewed and reissued in May of 2018, but today it doesn't seem to meet the criteria. I'd like a technical explanation for that, please.
Mr. Gerber or Johnson?
This is Brian Gerber. The question was asked back when the conversion was, or the conversion to the newer standards was made, and the FIFO company did provide some information showing that the older standard and the newer standard were not much different, and they didn't expect any difference in results. And in fact, the older standard is still even referenced by the Florida Energy Code. That also was some leverage that was provided by FIFO in justifying the use of the older standard. However, as the question continued to be raised, we did realize that the federal regulations do require that the materials be tested the new standards and even the federal requirements are a little bit confusing because at one point they offered a position that that even though the newer standard was published by ASTM, there was enough difference to require new testing. That eventually that rule was changed to require new testing. So it's somewhat of a gradual transition to the need for the newer standard. And after reconsidering this information, IAPMO did felt that continuing to accept the older standard was not warranted, and then even though there's not really strong evidence that that we would expect different results, but based on the federal requirements and how the code is written, we did agree that we had to move forward and ask for new tests.
Mr. Hamburger, does that go to your question?
It does somewhat. I'm still pondering the fact that I know that you're dealing with this on a national basis. Is that correct? As opposed to the state of Florida?
Brian Gerber, yes.
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you.
This is Brian Gerber. Yes, our reports are follow the International Building Code and International Residential Code and International Energy Code, so the product could be used in any jurisdiction that has adopted one or all of those codes.
Right, and so I was thinking that the International Building Code's version of the Energy Conservation Code that we have in Florida is pretty similar. Would you agree with that?
Yes and no. There is one provision in the Florida Energy Code that maintains the reference to ASTM C-236, but that's not evident in the International Energy Code.
Okay, so what I'm getting at here is that if you renewed the product in May of 18, what was it? When did the code change for you to reconsider the product ER 291?
Well, we were accepting the product based on the information provided by FIFO that the two standards were equivalent, even though we did understand the codes were changed, but based on the information provided, it was not an expectation that different results were to be needed to be asked for. But as upon further review, we felt that the information needed to be updated. It doesn't appear that we're going to see much. The results are going to be much different from what was submitted earlier.
So what you're saying is it was reviewed conditionally and approved conditionally. Would that be a correct assumption?
Yes, the way the criteria that we use for accepting products is written is that even though it may be written to require certain standards to be accepted, it also very clearly says that this is called ACO2, that's published by ICC, that was used in these reviews, and the criteria also very clearly states that in the case where an alternate revision is provided, that it can be reviewed and accepted. So that was a path that FIFO took that we did accept at the time, but based on more recent events, we realized that we needed to ask them for the new data, and that's what we acted on in the last few months.
Okay, I would just like to just hear Mr. Ennis's viewpoint on this when it comes time for him to speak. Thank you.
Okay. Dave, did you want to ask something of IAPMA before we'll get to Mr. Ennis to respond to Commissioner Humberger?
Yes. Yeah, if I'm understanding this correctly, if the complaint hadn't been filed, you never would have done the additional testing. Is that correct?
Ringer, which complaint are you referring to?
Mr. Ennis. I'm assuming the data you required from the product manufacturer was based on the complaint.
No, it wasn't that. No, there was an inquiry that was brought to our attention. It was not this complaint. This investigation we started last fall, way before this complaint was filed.
What involved that?
Commissioner Cochran, go ahead.
I was just wondering what started this initial issue to come up with additional testing? What was the initial, was it a complaint back then in the fall?
We had an inquiry from the Florida Attorney General office we did internally create a complaint file based on that inquiry. That led us to where we are today.
Okay, so I guess my original statement was, so if there hadn't have been some form of a complaint, you never would have done the additional testing.
Or required the additional testing.
That seems to be the case, yes.
Thank you.
All right, Commissioner Humberger, you wanted to ask a question of Mr. Ennis, correct?
Yes, I just wanted him to speak to the issue of my question earlier that had to do with the product being renewed in May of 2018. And I don't believe there has been any ICC revision in the timeline of this particular case since then. And that's why I was wondering why all of a sudden the product was pulled back. And I just wanted to hear his point of view on that.
Okay. Right. Thank you, Commissioner. So let me address a few things and clarify a few things. they said there's a difference between a standard and a test method. Okay? They addressed standard. They kept mentioning standard. It wasn't a standard. So here's what happened. In 2005, the Federal Trade Commission, okay, decided to withdraw the T6 as a valid test method for reflective insulations. And the reason behind it was that they felt that the R values weren't conducive to what was actually happening in place. So they introduced a new test method called 1363, ASTM 1363. What's very interesting, again, I say that's 2005 was when that change was made. The first AMATLO report was in 2013, 8 years later. There has been no change to the Federal Trade Commission Rule 460. There's been no change to the standard 1224 for reflective insulation in how they test the products, okay? The only thing that's being added is in Florida, is in section, Florida Building Code section R303111 states that you must remove the framing members and all building materials to get the actual R value of the product. So when we test reflective insulations, there's three R values that are required, okay? The first R value is what we call the specimen performance R value. That's basically for the whole cavity. The next R value is the air-to-air performance. That includes framing members. And the last R value is the one that's required under federal building code, which is what we call the R value or the C1224. My contention through all my complaints, which go back to 2015 with AMATLO, is that they have that the R values that are being claimed for the product have been what we call the air-to-air R value, which is much higher, okay, and not the actual R value according to C1224. And we have asked numerous times for testing. And they would never, the manufacturer would always hide behind this evaluation report. In turn, they would change the report based on the complaint, on how I worded the complaint. So the bottom line is, I don't feel that their product, and just recently, the company Fivefoil had their product retested. And when you say COVID, it only takes 72 hours to moderate a 1363 calibrated hot box or 48 hours to do a guard hot box. So it doesn't take long. It takes about 4 days to do the total test. Okay? And the Bifoil company has now gone out and issued a new report from a company, from an engineer that had it retested in Canada. Okay? Not in the United States where we have four or five labs that can actually do the test, but they had the product tested in Canada and they issued a letter from an engineer the same day that the technical committee voted to cancel EA 291.
All right, 1 second.
And this new letter that they've written, nowhere does it say that the product meets the Florida Building Code.
All right, I need
it
to
just
stop
says that he's substantiating the fact. So,
Tom, can you mute, remember, please?
Pardon me?
I want to hold on a second. We've got a little background distortion I'm trying to get fixed. Tom, can you mute?
Oh, okay.
Very, very good. If you call me. And then, Mistress, I don't know, you're calling your phone. Are you using your computer as well?
No, we have power outages here, so we're having issues.
Okay, there's just a little bit of disturbance, and I'm trying to get rid of the background.
Yeah.
Okay, Commissioner Hamburger, I think that was, you know, a response to laid out.
Yes, I'm satisfied. Thank you.
To your question. Okay. All right, Commissioners, any other questions or that you want to ask either? If you would, if not, let's go ahead and let's cut. We think that there is that you
should
not issue there is or is not substantial material evidence of a violation of one of the provisions of the product approval rule.
Can
That's what I was going
to say. Justin, would you like to go ahead and read through the seven pieces again?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So, just, I guess, also just to reiterate earlier, commission has not approved the evaluation entity. The Florida legislature has a statute of the of those types of entities, and the commission can initiate an investigation, but this is written into Florida law. So essentially, the ultimate remedy would not lie with the commission. We're looking at a potential investigation, and we're going to look at the rule, and it would need to be based off of sort of those bases that exist in the rule as it exists now, or the statute as it exists now. So I'll be happy to read through these provisions again, and the POC can continue its deliberations. So the reasons are, one, failure to maintain accreditation by a commission-approved accreditation body. Two, suspension or revocation of accreditation by a commission-approved accreditation body for failure to meet commission accreditation standards or equivalent pursuant to Rule 61G20-3.008 and 61G20-3.015. By the way, these are all available in a document on the agenda if you want to download it and read along.
Justin, if I may, on the first two provisions you read, based on what you just said, this is not a commission-approved accreditation body. So does that imply then these first two provisions really couldn't be invoked because this is they're approved through statute? Or is that correct or incorrect?
Sorry, say that again. So this rule section deals with a number of different entities. Not all of these provisions would necessarily apply to this this particular one. And so the as far as failure to maintain accreditation by commission-approved accreditation body, I don't need to get from Mo about whether there's an issue if accreditation were revoked, whether that would be something that we would look at. There's no allegation that that's the case right now.
This is Ron McDonough. The other thing about, you know, they're an approved certification entity under a certified little program, and their is also based on their certificate from ANSI. So, yeah, if that really could impact their certification approval in terms of as an evaluation entity, as Justin said, that's really legislative, and I don't think we have the authority to revolve there.
If there are any violations of the rules, you know, then the result of that complaint would be forwarded to the legislature. I mean, that would probably be what an end result would look like, but it would still have to tie in specifically to these provisions. Like I mentioned, I mean, there could be any number of other requirements that their accrediting body has that aren't covered in our very slim sort of subset of requirements in the rule. And we're looking at what is within the commission's jurisdiction to investigate this. And so I'll read through it, and then essentially the POC would need to be looking at which, if any, of these the action would fall under when it's making its recommendation.
Can we go to one other time and do comments?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for. So the first one, Justin, is Ferry Mechanic Commission or Accreditation Body. You had a question on that one, Dave?
No, I don't think this applies to this situation, if I'm reading this correctly.
Just in application number one, since this approved automatically the statute, would this be the commission approved? Would they be considered a commission-approved accreditation body.
I can't explain this one. Failure to make accreditation by the commission-approved accreditation body. INC is an approved accreditation body by the commission.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. That helps. That was confusing. Okay. Commissioners, do you have any questions on number one, on whether it's applicable?
So number one, they do have the accreditation, so this number one would not apply.
Does that seem to be the case? There's been no allegation that I'm aware of that they have lost their accreditation.
All right, so Commissioner, do you agree with the number for not appropriate criteria?
Yes.
All right, then let's move on to number two, Justin. Go ahead and read number two, if you would.
All right. Revocation by a commission accreditation body for failure to meet commission accreditation standards or equivalent pursuant to Rule 61G20-3.008. 1G20-3.015. Again, as part of the complaint, there's been no allegation that they had their accreditation suspended or revoked.
That's correct. I agree with that.
Okay, very good. Commissioners, would you then agree that number two would not be an appropriate criteria?
Yes.
Agreed.
All right, so we've eliminated number one and number two. Let's go to number three.
3.3, determination by any requirements set forth in this document, which I believe that means that this rule chapter has been, so that's a catch-all. I'm unaware of any provision in the rule that this would necessarily apply to, but is there any that anyone has? The requirements are mostly set out here, and so there are other provisions that deal with independent, which are in the rule and are referred to throughout some of these, and I believe that could be what we're referring to.
I think there's two aspects to this one. One is that normally we judge the performance of the evaluation entity based on the product that we approve and how they conducted that. That's because this product is falls under the product approval program. So that whatever in the rule with regard to an approval of product apply. With regard to the entity, yeah, we do have specific criteria for notice of independence, which those ones that probably you want to look at. And see if there is any conflict of interest involved here. So, this part, three, that you can look at it from standpoint of looking at Section 61D.3.009. If you want to look at it now, will be, I'm sure it's available. Am I correct, Justin, in your...
I believe so, and I guess I'll also point out that the next provision actually doesn't explicitly refer to 3.009. So this is a catch-all. I think that they're all listed right here. I mean, most of them are
correct.
You can say that, but I don't. Some other provision rule here. That would have to be something else. You need to be able to point this thing out. I don't know where exactly that would be pointing to. I'm not sure why this was worded in that way when this was originally promulgated. That's kind of a catch-all, but you would still have to refer to something else in particular rule chapter.
Okay, so there'd have to be a specific finding of some section or criteria of the rule. Okay, Mo, is there anything like that you see at all?
Not really, because it's very different. Because really, as I mentioned to you, this is a product that doesn't fall within the scope of tech product approval, and many other provisions within this rule is specific to those products being approved. So, I don't see any provisions here that could tie to that specific approval now, the conduct of evaluation interview issue here. So I don't know. I don't see anything here in the rule that I can pinpoint. No.
All right, commissioners, have you had thoughts on number three in terms of whether it's applicable?
It sounds like it gears towards the independent. So, like, I agree with Justin. Number four starts to get to that. So, I'm not going to say that number three doesn't apply. It's going to be sifted through in the next couple that come up.
All right, we'll come back to that and see if the other ones bring us back to three or not. Okay, let's go on to number four, Justin.
Number four reads, determination that the criteria for attendance from any manufacturer set forth in Rule 61G20-3.09. And so we could go and we would then have to refer to 309, which we could read through those requirements and see if any of the situation.
All right. Commissioners, is that what would you like to see?
I mean, when they say independence, I mean, these are two separate companies, correct? Is there any ties between them other than that one is evaluating the product of the other?
This is Norm Adani. Whenever it is the product of approval in terms of an evaluation and the relationship with the manufacturer, we always stress it has to be independent. So there is a requirement that they testify that they are independent from the manufacturer. And this is what 61G20-3.009, mainly spells out, the independence and between the two.
And this is Justin Bubble. If you look through that, if we choose to read through it, you'll see that it's dealing with having a financial interest in the company or being owned or controlled by a company. And so I haven't seen any indication that there's an allegation that Five Oil is owned by IAPMO or that there's some kind of controlling interest sort of at stake here.
I agree.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, that was my, I was going to say, do we have any evidence that shows that they're not invented? But I agree with Justin. I haven't seen anything, so I don't know if this one applies either.
Commissioners, what's your feeling on whether number four would be applicable based on Justin's, laying out of what that really means, controlling interest?
I don't see it.
I don't see it either.
All right. Would any commissioner not agree that we can eliminate number four as a criteria?
Agreed.
You're good?
Yes.
All right. Well, then we'll say number four, which has been determined as not being applicable. Let's go to number five, Justin.
Five. Determination that the entity is not independent pursuant to Rule 61G20-3.009 of any competing manufacturer of the manufacturer to whom the entity provided services on which Florida jurisdiction's product approval is based. And so there's not any allegation of, I think, a manufacturer providing a service to another manufacturer. I don't think that really applies to this situation at all.
And there's also no state approval of the product, and never has been.
That as well. Yeah.
All right, commissioners, what's your thought on that?
I agree. We can eliminate number five.
Everybody agree?
Yes.
Anybody not? All right, then number five's eliminated. Let's move on to number six, Justin.
Number six, an entity has misrepresented its accreditations or other material information on its application for approval.
And so, Commissioner Hamburger, I think there may be something to investigate here in terms of why IAMPO, went to Canada when they had regional accreditation firms that they could have gone to. And I really don't quite understand who does that? Who goes to another country to find whether or not the accreditation
would stand? I think it was the manufacturer that went to Canada.
This is Tom Campbell, and Commissioner Compton is correct. It was the manufacturer who went to Canada to have the new test done.
Right.
Okay. Thank you for the correction.
All right. So, commissioners, go ahead, Mo.
This one doesn't apply. They are accredited by us and their application, and they have, and we have not heard any misrepresentation and all that, and they continue to be approved under our program, under the state product approval program, as a certification and evaluation.
Commissioners, then would you agree that number six does not apply?
Yes.
Agreed.
All right, number six is eliminated. We're at number seven.
Number seven is failure to conduct investigations of products authorized by Rule 61G20-3.014. And so this would only apply if the commission were requesting that an entity initiate an investigation of a product by that rule provision. And so we're not dealing with an investigation of a product that the commission has requested. So I don't see how this would be invoked.
Commissioners?
Agree.
Everybody agree that number seven would not be an appropriate provision? Okay?
Agreed.
So all that leaves out of the seven is potentially circling back to see whether that sparked anything regarding number three, the sort of catch-all. So we can discuss that again and see whether you find it. If not, then I think you come to your determination of what the commission's authority is regarding. So, Justin, really what we're doing here is the commission has certain limited authority in terms of when they can do an investigation. This is what it is right here. There's other things happening elsewhere that aren't the commission's authority, correct?
That's correct. These rules aren't comprehensive in nature. They don't address every potential malfeasance or potential issue that could arise in the conduct of these entities' business.
Okay. So, Commissioner, circling back to three, based on your analysis of 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7 not applying, is there anything else that you think, any other requirement of the product approval rule that you might think should be looked at or invoked based on this? Commissioners, go ahead, Dave.
I mean, if this is the only criteria that we have, I don't see where they violated any of it. I mean, even, so I don't know what else to do.
Other commissioners, anybody have any different thoughts on this? All right, so based on that you've gone through the seven criteria and you've agreed that, at least within your authority and scope and purview, which is all that you can do as the commission, if that was the case, then you might make the recommendation that the commission not initiate an investigation regarding the complaint submitted against the International Association of Plumbing and Mechanical Officials by Dermot Enos of International Insulation Products on the basis that there is not substantial material evidence of violation of the applicable provisions of the product approval program by IAPMO. If you agree that that's the case based on your analysis of the seven provisions, then that would be where you might want to go with that. Commissioners?
We need a motion on that?
We do need a motion, yes, sir.
Does everybody understand the issue? Do you have a motion?
Yes. But I feel like I'm being forced to.
But I don't feel comfortable with what we're about to do. I understand what we're capable of doing, but something's going on here that we can't address.
Well, feel free to discuss it further. That motion was just a suggestion based on the analysis of the seven applicable provisions. It's up to you to make a decision.
I guess I would like to know more about this Attorney General investigation. Maybe our investigation isn't as important as that one. Maybe someone's already doing it.
Well, Commissioner Dina, this is Justin Vogel. I mean, the very existence of an Attorney General investigation is just sort of another example of how there might be other entities that have jurisdiction and have the ability to look more comprehensively into what's going on. The commission has its rules that it can look at and which apply. But they may be bribed compared to what exists elsewhere.
So, Justin, based on your legal analysis and understanding that there is some, you know, concern from some of our commissioners, irrespective of that, within the commission's authority and purview and abilities, what would your analysis be based on the fact that it doesn't appear that the seven provisions have been met?
If the POC is unable to connect the alleged conduct of the entity to anything that would be a violation in its rule, then my advice would be that it would need to recommend that the commission dismiss the complaint because there wouldn't be anything for the commission to tie it to. And that wouldn't represent any kind of blessing of what occurred or any kind of sort of exoneration in any other kind of forum. It would merely be saying that the commission is looking at what it can take, what it can initiate an investigation based off of, what it has authority to do, and that this conduct does not trigger any of that in this particular case.
Commissioners, what's your pleasure?
I would agree with what Justin said. I'm sorry, Commissioner Hamburger. I don't feel exactly right about this either, but I do think that our ability to review and recommend is rather limited in this case.
Ms. Compton, I agree with Commissioner Hamburger.
Any other commissioners wish to weigh in? Mr. Dean?
I can live with it, but I almost want to say I want to kick it up to the full commission because I don't know. I don't feel good about it, but I can live with it.
So just so you know, that no matter what you do, it will be kicked up to the commission. You're making a recommendation to the commission.
Okay. A recommendation, but with a but.
Right. And you can certainly, you'll be able to express that but on August 4th.
I can live with it then.
Anybody else? Any other commissioner has spoken wishes to say something? Commissioner Swope or Jeff? All right, so if that's the case, then the motion, as could be, if you agree, that POC recommends that the commission dismiss the complaint and not initiate an investigation regarding the complaint submitted against the International Association of Plumbing and Mechanical Officials by Dermot Innes of International Insulation Products on the basis that there is not substantial material evidence of a violation of the applicable provisions of the product approval program that was done by APMA.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second from Compton and Hamburger. Commissioner Stone?
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
This is Compton. Can I make a comment?
Do you want to make it before we finish the vote?
No. You could finish the vote. I apologize.
It's all right. And Commissioner Stone asked if there was any opposition, so I'm recording that as 6-0, unanimous in support. Go ahead, Commissioner Compton.
I just wanted to say that, Mr. Innes, that we take your allegations very serious. I feel that our hands are kind of tied in this situation. That's all I wanted to say.
All right.
I also have a comment.
Sure. Go ahead, Commissioner Dean.
Is there any way to find out, for staff to find out anything about this Attorney General investigation that could be brought forward to the commission?
Tom?
I'll get with Justin, and we'll see if we can get in contact with the AEG and get the file or whatever's public, and we can circulate that to the amendment to the members if you're interested in reading it.
I'm more concerned with knowing that maybe someone else is doing the investigation, even though we vote not to. I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Okay. Yeah, we can see what kind of information that we can get.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other commissioners want to make anything? So, Tom. I mean, so basically, just for clarification, so everybody knows what to expect. This is a recommendation that will go to the Florida Building Commission at their August 4th meeting. The commission will discuss it, and public comment can be taken at that time if anybody wishes to make it, correct? Yes. Okay. Yes. Very good. So that concludes this issue. We're going to move on, Commissioner Stone, to the review of product approval and entity applications.
Well, we have the list of entities recommended for approval. Does anybody want to discuss these entities? Any member of the public wish to discuss the entities? Member of the public wish to discuss the entities? Not hearing any, we have a motion for approval of the entities.
Compton and Hamburger, go ahead.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The entities have been recommended for approval. Next item on the agenda is the list of products, the consent list of products.
Correct.
And does anybody wish to have a product taken off the consent list? Member of the public, Member Bach. We have a motion for approval of the consent list of products for approval.
Compton move approval.
Thank you. Do you have a second? Thank you. All in favor of the products, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The products have been approved. Mr. Blair, will you take over?
Sir, the next are the we only have two products with comments. Product number 32364. Is recommended for conditional approval to allow the applicant to revise the drawings as per the comment. Is there any public comment? Hearing none, Mr. Chairman.
Recommendation is for conditional approval. Do we have a motion?
I'll count to move conditional approval.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second, Dean.
Thank you. All in favor of conditional approval, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Recommendation is for conditional approval. Next item.
Next is 32407. Is recommended for conditional approval to allow the applicant to revise the drawings per the comment. Any public comment? Not hearing any.
Recommendation is for conditional approval. Do we have a motion?
Compton, new conditional approval.
Do you have a second?
Second, Dean.
Thank you. All in favor of conditional approval, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Recommendation is for conditional approval. That does the products. Do we have any report on the DVPR approved products?
No, I believe they're all...
Yeah, they all have been handled, and they all either being revised or already revised, and there is no action needed at this point in any of those.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you. Do we have any public comment on our meeting today? Any POC comments? I would like to apologize to Mr. Bogle for goofing up the beginning of the agenda. I had spoken to him Monday or Tuesday, and I still goofed up. Any staff comments?
No comment. Thank you, guys. Good job.
So we have a roll call for adjournment.
Yes, sir. Commissioner Stone.
Still here.
Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Commissioner Dean.
Present.
Commissioner Gilson. Commissioner Homburger.
Present.
And Commissioner Swope.
Present.
Here. All right, Mr. Chairman, we have the same six we started with, maintaining our quorum.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Are you?
Thank you, gentlemen.
Commissioner, thank you. Adjourn the meeting. Very good. 11:20. 11:25. Take care.